It is Monday, October 5th, back here in Windsor, Ontario, but getting ready for day number four of the APT and National Trust 2020 Joint Conference, the Association for Preservation Technologies and National Trust Joint Conference. Hashtag, it's all on my socials. Hashtag APTNT2020. I've had a blast at the previous 3 days of the session. Of the conference, I should say, but I'm particularly excited for today. We've got the opening ceremonies, we've got a lot of workshops and a lot of concurrent sessions, which I think will provide a lot of valuable information. I talked about this before, a lot of very valuable information to, or which could be used by Masonic temples. I'll be sharing this with my brethren at the Windsor Masonic Temple, the beautiful Windsor Masonic Temple. But of course, any Masonic temple, any Masonic building may be able to benefit from the information provided. I'm also looking forward to maintaining and developing some new contacts with some individuals who may have some ideas about heritage preservation, about maintaining and improving our Masonic structures and Masonic buildings. One thing that I didn't talk about at the last video, but one thing that I really enjoyed, as we can know, it's always about thinking about new things and new ideas. Let's see if we can pull it up here, the agenda. On the Saturday, October 3rd, I actually had the chance to see some of the information from Workshop 3, Heritage Conservation and Carbon Reduction, the Climate Crisis and Moving Toward Net Zero Carbon. Got to see some of the slides, some of the presentations. And I thought that it was terrific. One in particular, they talked about technologies relating to windows and modifying windows so that they're more energy efficient, so that they release, less heat in the winter, so your energy costs and the amount of energy that you're using goes down, so that you are helping to promote sustainability. And it just got me thinking about, I tried to do a thought experiment, even with the Windsor Masonic Temple alone. We got a picture of it here. You can see, this is from my website. You can see all the windows that the Windsor Masonic Temple has alone. Then you consider, that the Windsor Masonic Temple was built in 1921. The Detroit Masonic Temple, which has, I mean, trying to think of how many windows exist on Masonic temples. There's got to be millions, millions of them. The golden age of Masonic temple building was in the 19, well, about 1870 to 1930. A lot of great Masonic temples were built in the 1920s. And they were built at the time they were built. The Windsor Masonic Temple in particular was built with the latest technology, all of its ventilation systems and work was considered state of the art, but state of the art in 1920 meant something very different than state of the art in 2020. Certainly, greenhouse gas emissions, heat conservation, it was not as, energy conservation was not considered as important, and just the technologies available are vastly different, as this presentation that I saw on the Saturday demonstrated. So that's just one example of something that Masonic temples and Masonic buildings could perhaps be thinking about. How do we modify our buildings, whether it be the windows with new technology, or whether it be the heating systems or any particular part of the building, how do we modify it with the newest technologies to be the most energy efficient, which in turn can not only do our part for the environment, but potentially have significant cost benefits down the line. So I really enjoyed that presentation. I'm looking forward to a lot of the presentations that we're going to be having today. It's all virtual, which, like I said, I love to travel, but I do enjoy being able to attend conferences in my pajamas. Particularly looking forward to the scavenger hunt, which I'm looking forward to trying that today. There's the leaderboard up there, but I'm going to be number one. on that leaderboard by the end of the day. I'll have to take a break from the conference at 11 o'clock my time because we also have, our scoring conference is also attending a presentation on the history of Freemasonry in India, which I think is going to be really cool, and that is something I want to share information with, or share information from, from which I'd like to share information with scoring conference promotion subscribers and viewers in the near future. But otherwise, it's going to be a day of attending virtual conferences and virtual symposiums and virtual concurrent sessions at the National Trust Conference. There's even a virtual mixer tonight, which I'm really excited about attending. And I hope to learn a lot from all of the presenters. I'm sure I will. The virtual mixer is later on in the evening, 8 o'clock my time. So I'm not sure when I'll get this video up. I'll either get this video up today and then do a new one tomorrow talking about the virtual mixer, or I'll just get this one up later on tonight. So thank you guys so much, and I will see you throughout this conference. Check us out on social media or on Twitter or on Facebook. For this, Square and Compass will be using the hashtag. We always use the hashtag Square and Compass, and also hashtag APTNT2020. And we are back, and as you guys can see, it's a lot darker here because we are finished another day at the APT National Trust Joint Conference, Hindsight 2020, hashtag APTNT2020, hashtag APTNT2020, and I had an absolutely terrific time today. It's funny, you know, attending virtually, I'm still pretty tired at the end of the day, perhaps because I just got a chance to take in so much information, a lot of which I believe will be of value to Masonic temples and Masonic buildings. I particularly feel like I got a lot of valuable information from this concurrent session, evolving documentation strategies, merging the old and the new. And really what this had to do with was documenting heritage structures themselves, the processes by which you document the structures, their architecture, their designs for future generations, and also looking at heritage buildings that may have been modified or changed over time and seeing if you can document or recreate their original forms, even if it's just in a model form. So I really enjoyed all of these sessions. I'm going to take us down. This one in particular, Constructing the Past Using Thomas Jefferson's Drawings to Model a Lost Dome. I enjoyed this one because there is a lot of talk and consideration that Thomas Jefferson may himself have been a Freemason, although to my knowledge, if somebody knows different, let me know, there's no actual confirmation of this. I also really enjoyed documenting Taliesin West, a case study for old school technology. In this case, it was really interesting because students from the University of Texas and their professor discussed it, actually went out to a historical location and like reverse mapped it, basically, from what I understood. It's, you know, people are way smarter than me where they were describing it, but they, you know, reverse mapped it, they measured everything, and they did it using, as it says in their old school techniques, old school technology, the way it would have been mapped out when these heritage buildings were first being built. And then the last one here had to do actually with restoration of a painting from a famous painter, how they went about that. But what I really enjoyed about all of these was how applicable they could be and should be to our Masonic temples, especially the idea of inviting architectural students, design students in to model these temples, to map these temples, to share the construction techniques of our Masonic buildings and our Masonic temples with these students, with architectural firms, with professors. You know, I can just speak for the Windsor Masonic Temple. It is a neoclassical building, and when it was first built in Windsor, it was a really amazing feat. Much of it was considered state of the art. The ventilation system was considered state of the art. thousands of people lined up just to see it being built. And I've been lucky enough to find the architectural designs, but I have also been lucky enough to bring in students to go through the building, go through the temple, archaeological and interior design students, and learn about it and get the chance to see these designs and these features. And then take it one step further, I think it'd be really interesting to invite them out to complete projects on it as part of their schoolwork too, as they do in this case, you know, use old school technology, see how they would have built it in 1921, the techniques that were available at that time as compared to what we have now. And obviously, going even further back to the time of Thomas Jefferson, you know, there are many Masonic temples and Masonic structures that date to the time of Thomas Jefferson. How were they built? How were they designed? Can we make models from drawings of those temples that may still exist? So I got a lot of information, a lot of contacts. It's interesting, I asked at the end of the session if any of the presenters had any projects or completed any projects related to Masonic temples. While they all said no, one of the presenters actually said she was interested in doing so and had been hoping to reach out to Masonic temples. So I dropped her an email, hope she responds, because I would love to share some information with her, and perhaps she could use that to share with her students, and it could provide another example of historical and heritage properties and architecture in the in America and Canada and across the world, or around the world, I should say. I also really enjoyed attending the appropriateness of the historic urban landscape approach in the Medemic world. What I enjoyed about this session is it had a lot to do and it really discussed historic urban landscapes in the sense of tourism. But what it brought up, and I thought this was very applicable to Masonic temples and Masonic lodges, is a lot of places developed historic urban landscapes or attempt to maintain historic urban landscapes and the heritage properties within them as a way to attract tourism. And obviously in the current pandemic world, tourism, the ability for people to travel and see these places, is severely curtailed. And how do they then continue to maintain historic landscapes and heritage properties without the revenues available from tourism? That is, I believe, quite applicable to many Masonic buildings. Many Masonic buildings, and rightly so, because they're so beautiful and such wonderful venues, rely heavily on income from weddings, from large gatherings, from people visiting tours, in order to keep costs low for membership. Now that large gatherings are no longer feasible or no longer possible, how are Masonic buildings dealing with that situation and attempting to, you know, look for revenues from other streams and other sources? I actually discussed this with the Norfolk Masonic Temple Association from Virginia, and I really enjoyed that. I thought that was a terrific discussion. I will try to make sure I throw the link up in the corner, so I hope you guys will check that one out. But it's funny how, I think conferences like this are valuable because they remind us that the concerns, the challenges, and also the opportunities and the positives that Masonic temples have to offer, Masonic buildings have to offer, are appreciated and they're considered by individuals and groups in the architectural field, the heritage field, the tourism field. And there's room to work together within those fields in order to improve the standing of Masonic temples, even not just from and Masonic buildings, even not just from a Freemasonry, you know, growing membership, although that's always a good thing, but just from the idea of protecting the heritage that is connected to a Masonic temple in a community. Many times a Masonic temple and building will be the oldest building in a community. There's a lot of heritage connected to it, and you know, the Association for Preservation Technologies, the National Trust of Canada are excellent forums, excellent groups, and have excellent contacts to help with that. So with that, I'm going to leave you guys for the night. I had a great time today. I just left the APT, which is Association for Preservation Technologies mixer. It was a virtual mixer, but it was terrific. They had a great, they organized it very well. They had a great trivia night, so I enjoyed that. And I'm getting ready for tomorrow and another day of attending the virtual conference. And if you guys like this video, hit the like button, subscribe to this channel. We're posting videos all this week. And on Wednesday, I'll have my typical Wednesday information video. It might be a bit later, but it will be focusing on this week at the conference. Oh, and I mentioned earlier this morning, I did attend the History of Freemasonry in India virtual presentation, which was terrific. And I definitely want to do a podcast about that because it's a fascinating history and well worth an episode of the Scoring Compass podcast. With that, looking forward to getting some sleep and then coming back here tomorrow for more from the APT National Trust Joint Conference.